Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Astrew, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Nicole Gardner. Michael, we hear a lot about collaboration and partnerships, both across government and with organizations outside of government. What kinds of partnerships are you developing to improve operations or outcomes at SSA? And can you describe some specific success stories or points of pride for you that illustrate this this approach?
Sure. I think the most important new one for us, and of course we have several longstanding collaborations, is that we entered in fairly recently to a memorandum of understanding with the National Institutes of Health. And they've done a number of things for us. One is for a lot of these new initiatives like Compassion Allowance, they've helped us on the medical side, help us identify the diseases and conditions that fit our criteria. But we're hoping to expand that, particularly in the research and development area. We've probably gotten a little stale with our research and development money. We haven't run a new experiment that's really changed the world since the late 1970s. So what we're trying to talk to NIH about are running some actual clinical trials to look at all this wonderful new information in terms of biomarkers that you can get with new diagnostic tools and that kind of thing, and see if we can tie that to functionality so that we can say, for instance, if we can measure blood flow to the heart, if it's below a certain level, someone's not going to have the stamina to work in the economy, and draw some bright line tests that would make the judgments a lot more fair, because a lot of times it's anecdotal that we have information that we have to rely on. A person's condition can vary a little bit from day to day. We did something like that recently with advanced liver disease and combined cirrhosis of the liver, hepatitis, and other things. And there's an objective three-component test called the MELD score. If your score is over 22, now we just presume that you're disabled, and we don't try to make a very difficult determination based on anecdotal information. So we're looking to do more of those kinds of things and actually running studies of a very different type than what we've done before. On the other end, we're actually doing some work with VA. VA is looking to us on information technology. They're still on a paper process for veterans' disability claims. And they run a similar but very different system to ours. So we're actually providing the benefit of our technical expertise to try to make sure that that adjustment for them, which is always difficult, is as easy as we can make it. And it's time that that system was electronic as well.
So on the subject of partnerships, you mentioned in the first segment that Patty Duke is going to be doing some work for the SSA. Can you tell us a little bit about what she's going to do for you over the next year and why you went in the direction of a celebrity spokesperson?
So we were looking for a well-regarded celebrity spokesperson who was about retirement age. And Patty Duke is 62. She's a wonderful individual. The other group that she is a spokesperson for is for people with bipolar disorder. So she's passionate about helping people with disabilities. She loves the agency. She donated her time to us. So what we're doing is with the new online retirement form, which will be available very early next year, she's our spokesperson for this. And she spent a full day recording. We have a whole series of public service advertisements come out of that. It captures a lot of her wit. It captures a lot of the fun of the original show. I think people are going to love these ads. You know, we don't have that much money for these types of things. And so, you know, we need these to be catchy. We need to people want to see them on YouTube. We need major news shows to let us on and show these and get as much leverage as possible. But she did a spectacular job, and I think it's going to be a big help in getting the word out that our retirement services online are really quite good and quite easy to use.
And that sounds like a lot of fun, something to look forward to. Some experts have theorized that Social Security concerns can be solved with math, but there's little that can save Medicare as it presently exists and that it needs significant reform. Can you share with us some of your observations and what directions you think SSA will go in order to preserve the overall health of the Social Security system?
Sure. Technically, we are much, you're right, we are much easier to work with in terms of trying to get solvency. our system is relatively predictable based on demographics, and to a large extent, it's how much do you want to tax and how much do you want to pay. And there's some error range, and there are a few other things that you need to look at, but that is substantially most of it. So it is, compared to Medicare, a comparatively simple thing to do. It is politically explosive, and what I'm expecting is that we will have something that looks like the Greenspan Commission from the early 80s that will try to get people together on a bipartisan point of view to try to agree on a grand plan and take some of the politics out of that and make sure that the people paying in today are confident that their benefits will be there when it's time for them to retire. Right now, we're solving until 2041, so we do have time. But it is important that we get on with that, on with it, because the longer you wait, the economics do get more complicated. And I do think that it may not be in the first year or two, but I do think in the next 4 years, it's highly likely that we'll have some legislation. Medicare will be very hard. Healthcare generally, I spent a lot of my career working in mainstream healthcare. And even when you think you've fixed something, even in the short run, a lot of times you've just move pressure into a different part of the balloon, and it's very, very hard to fix. And I do think that there'll be an effort to try to deal with healthcare on a broader basis, not just Medicare. But that will be very difficult, too, and God bless them. I'm actually glad that I have something simpler to worry about, because I think it's easier to figure out what the fixes are. I don't even know what I would say to people if they said, how do you fix Medicare?
Michael, I'd like to transition now to the future. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in, let's say, the next 4 to 5 years? And how will SSA need to adapt to meet some of these changes?
I think for us, the biggest change is just the demographics of the baby boom and figuring out what that's going to do to our workloads, figuring out what that's going to do in terms of how we interact with them, and try to figure out how to take the 1960s, 1970s paradigm of outstanding service and apply it to a new generation. And of course, we just can't do it the way that we've done it before. It's too much paper, too many claims, too many people. But we still want to interact with them in the same helpful, courteous, clear way as much as we can. And so what we're trying to do is figure out how to reconfigure our systems and our IT so that a lot of the automatic exchanges of information don't have to take place. And, you know, our people on the front lines are just really heroic. I mean, these are people that are very committed to helping people. I mean, when I get out and I visit the offices, you can't help but be moved by the caliber of people that we have. And so my job is to try to figure out how to take the burdens off of them that usually isn't the work that they value, the automatic exchange of information, and try to free up as much of their time as possible for the hard cases, the cases that go off track, as good as we are. And I think we're a great agency. We all make mistakes. So certain things go off track. People come in with very complicated decisions. As good as the online estimator is in terms of giving people information, for certain categories of people, particularly for women, the discussion about when to retire, when to file for retirement benefits can be extremely complicated, because they'll need to look at the fact that genetically women tend to have an 8-year longer lifespan than men. They're not average in terms of life expectancy. They need to look at what they're entitled to as a survivor, as a spouse. It tends to be a more complicated discussion for women. And you want to make sure that our field staff has the time, you know, to have those complicated conversations.
That's excellent. So, Michael, given your success in both the public and the private sectors, what advice would you give to someone who's out there perhaps considering a career or a role in public service?
I think the most important thing is to don't overplan and just go out and do what you believe in and do what seems valuable. You know, I've had to reinvent myself a number of times, both in the public sector and the private sector. And I think that it's given me opportunities I've never dreamed possible. So when I talk to our leadership classes, one of the things I tend to hit hard on is that, you know, your fates are largely within your control. If you keep investing in yourself, keep trying new things, keep challenging new things, make sacrifices for the organization earlier in your career, and show that you can do different things, you're just more likely to be there and be the person that has to answer the call, you know, when you've stepped up in the organization a little bit. So I think that's what I preach for the most part.
That's fantastic. That's great advice. You know, I heard someone say once that we should all plan for 100 years, but be prepared for change tomorrow.
That's right.
Great. That's wonderful advice. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, Michael, so I want to thank you for your time.
No, thank you. This has been great. I appreciate it.
I know you have a very busy schedule, but more importantly, Nicole and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country across your roles at HHS and now at the Social Security Administration.
Thank you very much. And if I can just add one thing, I think for most Americans, there's going to be a reason to check out our new easy-to-use website called socialsecurity.gov. It can lead you to information about financial planning. If you're looking for a position with the agency, it can lead you there efficiently. If you're trying to help a relative, Social Security, disability, Medicare, it leads you very cleanly to a lot of those sites. And I really recommend most Americans at some point should sit down and check out that website, because almost invariably there's going to be information that is either going to be helpful to you or someone you love.
Great. And you mentioned earlier a financial My Money.
Right. www.mymoney.gov is a consortium of government agencies that have come together to give information about financial literacy. You can get there directly. You can also get there by a link from our website. And I encourage everyone, but particularly young people, to take a look at that website. I think it's very helpful.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Michael Astrew, Commissioner of the U.S. Social Security Administration. My co-host has been Nicole Gardner, IBM's Public Sector Social Services Practice Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.